if I was.
Yeah.
Live stream.
Yeah, live stream. Hey guys, welcome back to Happy Fun Smiles. We just got back from a very intense 72 hours in New York City. A lot of fun. Didn't sleep a whole lot, but we made some lifelong friends. Jared, how do you feel about the trip, dude?
I don't remember all of it, but from what I do remember, it was a blast.
Yeah, you told me it was going to go by quick, and I didn't believe you. I'm like, this fucking guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, I said it was going to be one of the most intense 72 hours of your life.
Intense is the word I would use. I don't feel like I scratched all the shit off my list. I did, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You saw a rat. That's all you really want.
I wanted to see a rat. I wanted to see some real, like, Chinatown shit.
Which happened.
Like, some scary shit, like, they don't trust me. I don't really trust them.
Right.
But they're here to sell me some shit, and I'm here to buy it.
Yeah.
We did see that, which was tight.
That happened.
I did see some real Italian shit.
You did.
But I think the guy was probably, like, Saudi Arabian.
I don't know.
But it was cool. It was awesome. But to give a big shout out to Amiri, Ra, Will, Patrick, Stephanie, and the boy's sweet, sweet mother, Anais.
For sure.
I immediately felt like a family member in a weird way. Yeah. Like a cousin, maybe. Probably not going to Thanksgiving, but just right below that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was, for me, going halfway across the country for us to sit down and talk to some dudes we thought would be cool who were total strangers, and then realize that we're all the same with the same basic human experience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Different rolls of the dice, different variables, but the same basic wants and needs. Really cool.
They were super cool.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, we connected immediately. It was awesome.
Right.
It was a really good time. We did all the touristy stuff, knocked it out. We walked 40 miles in 2 days.
Yeah. Dogs are barking.
Legit took the day off work because I didn't even want to walk yesterday.
Yeah.
So thanks for that one. Had a great time. Glad to be back. Hope you guys like it. We're going to play some Black Rabbit at the end of this one, but as is tradition, when we're at the home base here, Jared, do you have a quotations?
I realized we were crazy people while we were out there, so it led me to this quote from Mark Twain. All right, here we go. No sane man can be happy. For him, life is real, and he sees what a fearful thing that is. Only the mad can be happy, and not many of those. The few that imagine themselves kings or gods are happy, and the rest are no happier than the sane.
It's pretty thick, bro.
Thick angel.
Thick angels,
bro. We love you. Have fun. Have fun.
Something, at least. Mashed potatoes is bare minimum. That's what I'll accept.
You have to.
Yeah.
I always go green bean, too. I like green beans.
Oh, green beans. Yeah, they're
crucial.
Knocking.
Crucial,
yeah.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very good. A little piece of bacon in there, too, in the green beans.
They do. They put the bacon in there.
Yeah. I've seen that before.
It sets it up,
so
dude.
Good, dude.
That's what you mean. Like, if you ever go to, like, a Thanksgiving and someone, like, brings green beans, I'm like, you just put salt on that shit. Like, put some bacon. Like, church it up a little bit.
Maybe
some
onions. Church it up.
Something, man. You got to church it up a little bit and make it better.
You got to church up the churches.
You do. You do have to church up the churches a little bit, man.
Shit.
It's good, though, man.
Wow. Yeah, dude, a day in New York. What's been your favorite so far, Chris?
Okay, so when we got out of here,
Chris,
we told you that three wishes thing. I wanted to have some, like, I wanted to go to Chinatown, but I really wanted to see some, like, real Chinese shit. Like, I didn't want them to, like, just, you know, serve me some, like, a Mexican guy serving me a wonton. Like, I want to go to where they think I'm crazy, and I think they're crazy.
We got there, but
we did. We saw that, dude. Like, they had these chickens in the window that had, like, the face on it still. The whole thing.
Oh,
it's just, like, they just deep fried the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were doing to it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Ooh. And then I wanted to see, like some real Italian
Let's go back, though. He wanted to see the duck. You said get killed. You said you wanted to see a duck get murdered.
I don't want to see it get murdered, but I was thinking, like, Chinatown, like,
That's interesting that you say that.
Authentic.
Because, yeah.
Because I've seen him, like,
a lot of people believe that they got to, that you got to be able to look it in the eyes.
Is that chicken karma?
It's so disassociative with the food that we eat. We almost forget that it is an animal.
Totally.
Yeah, that was a live thing that had feelings.
Once we got to the dead goose.
It might not be smart, but it still has feelings.
Mm-hmm. Once you saw the dead goose, you didn't want to eat it anymore.
I didn't. I looked at the goose. I'm like, that's not
the
move right
there. He goes, I want to get some noodles.
Yeah, and then we just got noodles.
We just got noodles instead.
Well, it was cool.
Yeah, and then I wanted to see a rat. And I was like, man, I'm not going to get to see a rat, man.
Wait, was there, it was on, like, it was.
That was my second wish, was I want to see a rat, like a big one.
Yeah.
I'm honestly a little surprised. I thought you guys would be like vegetarians.
It's funny you say that. I did that for a very long time. I went full vegan for a very, very long time. And I did notice that like my demeanor was super cool and chill. But the job that I have is like pretty physically demanding.
Yeah.
And I was not really, I wasn't doing it right. Like you have to plan that out, man.
Right. You have to get good nutrition.
Yeah.
Right. And I really wasn't. It was like peanut butter sandwiches and like, you know, vegan protein shakes.
And then not to mention sometimes, like, I respect anybody who fucking is vegan.
So right.
I respect the shit out of that. But like it's, you don't like necessarily like energy is not like a, you don't gain a lot of energy, I guess, like from the diets, like
no,
as much.
You don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot has to depend on like, I really do think this, like it has a lot to do with your mental state and how you're going about it, like your intentions behind it. Because you can get enough energy from a vegan diet if you do it right.
Man, it matters.
And you're not doing it, like you're not being vegan to not eat animals. Yeah. You're being vegan. Yes, you're not eating animals. You're being vegan for the life picture of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then if you want to get down to it, like we were discussing outside, plants go through things too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like what was that story with the?
I was talking about how like plants who are raised in like a domestic like abuse household or something like that, they'll start to wilt.
Yeah,
just because they start to feel what's going on energetically in the house.
That negative stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the bag of rice thing we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So you take the three bags of rice, you give one of them I love you every day, one of them I hate you every day, and one of them you leave alone.
You have to mean it. Though.
You have
you
to mean
just
it.
Be like, I hate you, man.
And then that, I think it was a Japanese scientist, I think. A scientist somewhere.
I think it was the same guy. We were talking
same
about
guy
the
with
same
the water.
Guy. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Basically the bag that you say I hate you to turns to this crazy sludge stuff that's disgusting. The one that you leave alone just rots naturally, and the one you tell I love you is basically fresh. It's crazy.
And that as actually is interesting, because when you think of like holy water.
Wow.
So, like a lot of people say that like...
It's been blessed.
Blessed. You're blessing it with your words.
Whoa.
Yeah, and water it's has crazy, memory. Right?
Yeah.
Water has memory.
That's pretty insane.
So anywhere it's been or any environment it's been in or any kind of... chemicals or any interactions it's had with other substances.
If the intent is strong enough, it can, like, water can
do anything.
Do you guys bless the food that you eat? I don't. I never do that.
I always forget. But when I go to a Japanese restaurant, I say, itadakimasu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much like bon appetit.
Cool.
In Japanese.
Cool.
Hey, Pat, did you bless that fried chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to.
Pat over here brought
bless
back.
That, bless that chicken for Popeyes.
Bless chicken that chicken. Yeah, I don't ever bless my food because I'm not because I don't want to, but I'm just like, who am I talking to here on the other end of this thing? I've always wondered like when I pray, I don't know who I'm praying to. I have no idea. Mm. I don't know what God is supposed to look like, because for me, like, I get stuck in like the visual of that, because I just see like the guy in the robe, and then sometimes it morphs into like a Santa Claus type character or something.
Yeah.
Who am I talking to? And
the
I think
spirit of Christmas.
But I think that the thing about it is that you don't have to say anything. If you're trying to connect with that thing, it's gonna know, and it's gonna know that like you're an imperfect vessel, and like words get to a certain point, and then they'd lose their meaning.
Well,
words don't do it.
But I think that also words can help you with memory too. So if you're in a particularly dark place and you're not used to being thankful for things,
right,
like saying it physically can definitely internalize that.
There's a lot of power to that, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a vibration.
It is a vibration.
And we're all made of water. And we were talking about that earlier, the communication. So even if you're talking to yourself, that's still an intention.
Right.
Even if you're saying thank you, like to talking to yourself, like I feel grateful for the things I have in my life and stuff. Like sometimes that's why people create mantras like that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what the mantra is.
And Chris, you're into electricity. Isn't water like an amazing conductor?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like one of the best things to transfer energy with.
Right. But I mean, Well, then if you add like salt to it, it changes the game up.
Does it?
But yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about the matcha stuff, mm-hmm. because it depends on what level you're trying, what you're doing it at. Because a lot of times you're just doing it to quiet your head down.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times what you'll do by doing the matcha is you give the mantra the meaning
mm-hmm.
by repeating it. So you'll go through changes. Like there's several, like Om Medhi Padme Hum. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that right.
Om Medhi Padme Hum.
Yeah, which means I am the jewel in the middle of my heart, what that means.
And what's the one that's the song you sent me the other day? On So Hung.
Yeah, these are all Tibetan words. And they don't mean anything to me.
Oh, yeah.
But I have noticed that when I do the mantras, the effect that they were going to have happens to me. Like the
right.
Ong So Hung mm-hmm. one was it's the heart, it's the one to open up the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I notice when I do it, because it's a 20-minute thing, I'll do it on the way to work. And I come out and I'm like, I can see just enough beyond like my morning ego drama to where my heart is open. And on a certain level, I love all the people I'm around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I love their outward projections of, you know, construction worker guy who's pissed off to be there. But when I look at the person, I'm like, behind that, there's this loving, kind, compassionate person.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same loving, compassionate person that's inside of you.
Yeah. And all those things just want to, you want to be around that kind of an environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that when I'll do the mantra, when I go to work, the entire vibe of my day is colored by that mm-hmm. start of the day.
Yes, yes.
That's and where the real mind fuckery can begin is like you start at a certain level expressing your gratitude for things. And then like you said, after a certain point, it just becomes this autopilot thing that you're doing.
Right.
So at a certain point, it is good to like just start to internalize the thought rather than the words.
Right.
But so I think
coming down to it, like really just if you want to boil it down to the basis of anything, if your intention is pure enough, that's really all that matters, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
we're human beings. We're going to fuck up. We're going to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Even if we don't want to.
It's our favorite thing to do.
It is our favorite thing to do, man. We're really good at it, too. But if your intention's there, the understanding of the fuck up has an entirely different perspective, even to the people that are on the bad end of it.
Why am I fucking this up?
Yeah. It's almost going to be like the dog rolled in shit again.
How do we unfuck this?
Right. You know, you're just doing what you were going to do, but if you do it as consciously as possible and with some clearly defined projected intention, if you fuck it up, it's not nearly as bad as it would have been. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do.
But it's like when you're saying, like, if you outwardly say those things, because I go through it too. I have a hard time doing that. Like, just talking out loud to myself. I'm in my head all day long.
Who
I
is do. That?
I live there.
Yeah, me too.
Right. So but when I talk out loud, I'm like, what are you doing, you goof? But once I do it and open up to it, and I'll do it again, like, because the first one comes out like a little bitch, like, hey, please help me.
I'll allow
my heart to open. And I'm like, all right, if you're going to do it, let's just do it. Be a man
do
about it.
Do you ever
it.
Say the first thing that, like, comes to your mind when you're in those states?
I do. Yeah. And it's usually
like, and sometimes it freaks you out.
Yeah.
Things.
Who is
when
that?
When you're in a dark space.
Right.
Yeah.
The things that you like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
I have that thought.
Yeah. You'll have
you get that, like,
it holds so many people back. It holds the whole world back.
Yeah.
More, all just holding on to dear life to these illusions that we've created in our minds.
Yes.
Yeah. If everyone confronted that shit on a massive level.
Right.
I love that thing. The world would be. You were saying earlier about like raising consciousness through, was the monkeys? What was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that story, man.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, tell a story.
There was this guy who did an experiment with these Japanese monkeys on a small island in Japan. And, he took a bunch of mangoes, or whatever fruit they eat.
Right.
And he dipped them all in sand. He left them, like, he must have taken like 80 or 90.
Oh, okay.
And left them all on the sand. One of the monkeys learns how to dip the mango in the water so that it gets it like less sandy. And then over the span of a week, every single monkey on the island learned the technique.
Like a collective consciousness.
Yeah, it was a collective.
I believe in that, man. I really do. And even with
and it
human
was
beings.
Over the course of a week.
Yeah, it
like,
is
it'd
definitely.
Be one thing if it would. It'd be one thing if it was like over a couple years.
Yeah,
then it would be like, all right, well,
but the fact that but how quickly
over
it went.
A week.
Was just incredible.
That's like
insane.
At least a thousand monkeys,
right?
All on one island, all like had this shift and learned how to do the same thing.
I heard.
So
about,
I was saying to Jared earlier that that like people when we're moving up in our vibrational frequencies,
right?
There are people that are, you know, lower than us, or people that are higher than
us. And there's beings that we're not even aware of that are higher than us.
But the main thing, but I think at the end of it all, I think light comes out at the top, because like I think we're all being pulled up
back, right?
Even the people who are down here,
right,
we're moving up.
Yeah,
they're coming up too.
It's cool. I read a thing recently. It was saying, like, I've said this many times, but it holds true again. It's the highest vibrating being in a situation's responsibility at all times to tend the vibe and to bring up your brothers. So like you're literally saying that right now of like, yeah, we're all going to interact at different levels of that frequency, but like you got to, okay, it's like, come up here, check it out.
Yeah.
That kind of
thing.
But then if you look at like, this is going to sound crazy, but if you look at the shape of like DNA and how it like, it expand, it contracts and then expands back into itself.
Right.
Like it kind of like I see like, major phases of human history kind of just being like
the big jumps,
the big jumps,
but DNA, then they cross back over,
and then you cross back over. So you go from elevating consciousness that reaches its peak, maybe a lower state of consciousness, goes back forth, and it's like the universe constantly having to relearn its
and
lesson.
The ancient hermetic principle. As above, so below, right?
That's crazy.
Right.
Well, yeah, that applies to literally everything, right?
Yeah.
The microcosm.
Because we never stop learning. No one ever stops learning.
But yeah, I mean, the idea of like a group consciousness, like, I didn't really know what to expect when we came out here. I just didn't know. It's a big city, the buildings and shit.
Chris
like,
doesn't travel well.
I do okay. I'm getting better.
You did better than I thought you would. That's for sure.
But I thought I was going to feel this crazy buzzing hive mind around everybody, and I didn't feel that. Everyone was busy doing their own shit, but everyone kind of was accepting of everybody else around here.
Yes, like everybody leaves everybody alone here,
right? Yeah, so it's either everyone's so alone, or everyone just knows, like, hey, this is New York.
I definitely get the
vibe. Gonna see a guy do coke on the street, and then
I
pass
did
out.
See a guy eat coke on the street.
We did.
I feel like
and nobody said anything.
It's that vibe of being all alone in a crowded room, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of New York. I mean, because like, I'm also amazed at those really busy areas that there's all these people coming and going and moving. And like, we managed to keep that buffer zone. And we like, when you're in the flow and you're moving, like, even I'm not from here, but I picked it up in a day. Like, I can move through crowds of people and not touch anybody.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing that?
Yeah.
How are we not ripping each other apart on the streets out there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't it wild? Like,
when I noticed the social order is real. A lack of police officers. Like, I thought there'd be cops everywhere. Now, we've seen them.
Sure.
I think in some ways we find it weird because, and this is like going super deep.
No, it's
but like, I think there is like social conditioning because of evolution and the way, like the theory of evolution.
Right.
A lot of people believe that like we're animals.
Okay.
And I think that's why it's like surprising for our heads to kind of wrap around, or like, I think we're the only species on this planet that's really given like the choice to you know, better the planet or destroy it, basically.
You have an option instead of just existing.
Yeah, we have the option. Like, it's crazy that we're a species, the only species who has the power to create or destroy
whatever you
what
want.
We live on.
Yeah.
Makes you think about like where, like, I've had like thoughts about like where we might not be fully from here.
Yeah.
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 Well, we like, there's like some, There are some theories that like I've been like very interested in, the fact that thousands of years ago, like the ancient, who were the
Dogon people?
Yeah, the Dogons.
The Dogons. They're an African tribe, and they know so much about astrology, and there's no way that they could have observed that through technology. Like they knew like all about star systems, planets, the locations of planets outside of our galaxies and
shit that
they couldn't even see it or observe it ever.
The Sumerians said they're visited by the
Anunnaki, which I think are just higher vibrating.
And I just hate saying the word Anunnaki because it's got such a stigma like to it.
Right.
Everyone's read about David Icke.
Here comes the crazy kid talking about Anunnaki.
But see, do you think that that stereotype is conditioned intentionally so that we don't talk about things like that?
For sure.
And that we at least, at the very least, don't think critically minded about it.
Because then you might be ousted.
We just hear a theory and then we... label it conspiracy.
It's the same way like when people were trying to the propaganda against marijuana in America, like it was once a
And isn't it interesting how as soon as the TV tells people that this conspiracy was true or now marijuana is legal, like people accept shit real quick too.
Yeah,
no one wastes their time thinking about, well, we were wrong for so long. Everyone's just like, okay, they said it's okay now.
Yeah.
And it's the same with history stuff. Like, what if they came out and said, like, okay, here's the deal. Aliens came to Earth a long time ago. They found some monkeys and they zapped them with our DNA. We spliced it. We made little things called humans and now we're here. We just figured it out. Like, I don't think people would run around screaming like chickens with their heads
cut
off.
And then they gave them psychedelic mushrooms.
More people would be, honestly, some people would be scratching their heads in the society we live in.
Yeah.
Some people would be like, what?
What? Okay. I'm just going to American Idol's on later. It's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. I got shit to do.
Yeah, American Idol's on later. I got work tomorrow. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. I got work in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that actually...
Tale of Human Origin. No big deal.
So that actually brings up like a...
Weird. No worries. Don't worry about it. Don't bother with that knowledge.
Yeah, we're not worried about that one.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you were saying about how human beings have the power to save the planet or destroy the planet.
Yeah.
I think it really goes with you have the power to save yourself or destroy yourself.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, taking it to the lower level.
Right.
Yeah.
Above, so below, man.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just figuratively and literally.
Right. Yeah. Now, if everyone went around trying to save themselves and not from a selfish standpoint, then that's how the big thing gets
done.
We
would save the world.
Right.
Right.
Were you there when we were talking about... how the earth has the 7 chakras?
No, I would miss that part. Was that outside?
Yeah. Like, fill them in, man. Fill them in.
I was talking about how a lot of the ancient pyramids and stuff like that and the 7 wonders of the world are all built on the energetic chakras.
Yeah, I know about like the crazy...
Like the consciousness lines.
I know about those. Yeah.
Yeah.
For human consciousness. There's the sacred spots on the planet are all aligned.
These, yeah.
Because my grandma actually went to Egypt and she told me that when she got to right next to the pyramid and like everything, like the mass of the pyramid is so big that time is actually slower around it by about 2 seconds.
It's like warping space-time.
The pyramid is like literally, because of how massive it is.
It's wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Why? I mean, here's the thing. What were they
doing? Would you make something like that? Like, what reason?
Like a signaling device? Be like, hey, we're down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like how?
Yeah,
like, something we can't even compete with now. We can't even compete with the pyramid now technologically, really.
Totally.
Like
true.
It would be, I mean, we like the accuracy, at least the mathematic accuracy that it was made.
And
we could, you know, if we tried hard enough, we could probably build a pyramid. But
not like that.
Yeah.
Not like that.
Shout out to
2,000 tons each.
Brian Klein, we've been talking about Egypt a lot lately.
Yeah.
So I've been down this rabbit hole. like the Sphinx.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But my main thing is that I think it's 2006 or four. Dr. Hiawas, he's the main archaeological guy for Egyptology or whatever. Like they found these little vent sides in the pyramid, you know what I'm talking about? And they sent the drones in and then they opened the little doors and like it moved it through and it kept finding these little hatchways and then they'd move through. And then after that, the government of Egypt pulled the plug and they haven't done anything on anything in Egypt since then.
Well, I heard that there was something about, there was a chamber with a white light.
I don't know about that one.
They said there was a chamber with white light.
There was just a light
people
in there?
People were going towards it and feeling like their energy drained out of them.
Out.
And it was drained from them or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So maybe it's beaming our Earth energy up to something.
Oh, we harvest energy and beam it back to the Orion constellation?
Is that why Orion?
I think that might be what it is, actually, because they've also said that the top of the pyramid actually was built with gold so it can reflect solar energy and also a conductor of electricity.
The collective conscious thing we're just talking about, like all of us and our thoughts and our energy. What if the pyramid still works? What if it's still harnessing our collective energy and beaming that shit to the fucking stars?
It's possible.
Yeah. Here's what's funny about those pyramids is I've seen like the pictures of the pyramids, and then I see when they go across the street, there's like a gas station and a McDonald's right there.
We've had this conversation.
You have this insane thing that no one really understands.
It's
people need hamburgers right next to it.
It's the perfect example of tourism? Humanity right now.
It's like there's in front of the pyramid.
Let's put the McDonald's sign right in front of the pyramid. Don't pay attention to that shit.
Get a dollar wherever people go.
That
sucks, man. That bums me out so hard.
I don't think you could have ice cream in the desert. That would probably not work.
No, Dubai's doing something right now.
They've got it figured out.
Why is there so much money there? Is it just like the
oil money, right?
Oil prince money.
Yeah.
Oil prince money. I'm sure all of us have gotten the email from the oil prince.
Yeah. The artist formerly known as Oil Prince.
I don't think we really understand
Sultan.
How much money goes through that place?
Through Dubai?
How much money?
Is it the richest country in the world?
They're just like buying Bugattis when they run out of gas, buying another one.
I think they're like grinding up Bugattis to put in their Bugattis.
I've got
all these broken Bugatti parts in my Bugatti.
We made a new hotel out of Bugatti.
I need a fresh cup of Bugatti to start off my morning.
Exactly. And meanwhile, I have a Subaru Outback and I feel like I'm crushing it at life. Subaru Outback. And I'm like, this is the smart choice.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
That's so funny, man.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. He thought those cars were from Australia for the longest time, too.
And I did. They're Japanese, man.
They're from a Japanese aerospace engineering company.
Yeah, lay that thick down on us.
So I found this. I was like digging through. Okay, so we were coming out here and we got the NASA jackets to be funny or whatever, you know? So in that wormhole of buying NASA jackets on the internet, I also stumbled across like funny patches that you can put on the Velcro spots, you know? So then that sent me down. I bought a couple that are funny. That sent me down a rabbit hole of looking at actual patches throughout military history or whatever. And there's a thing called a morale patch where a squad or a group, like if we were a troop, we could come up with our own little patch so that we're on missions, we can slap that patch on as like a camaraderie thing. It's ours. We'd be the only unit that has it, right?
That's pretty dope.
It's pretty cool. So I started looking at all these, then I started looking at the Apollo ones, and basically, almost all the Apollo ones have five stars on it, which all represents the Pleiades star system. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
That's what it does. But then I looked, and it's the Subaru symbol on the car is the exact same symbol as the NASA stuff. So I'm like, what's the deal? What's the symbolism between NASA and Subaru? That doesn't make any sense to me. Subaru's a Japanese car company. NASA's a space program in America, right? Well, it turns out when you look a little bit deeper, Subaru is owned by like one of the largest aerospace engineering companies in the world. They're just like a branch of it. So the five stars, man, I don't know. Orion and the Pleiades, they're important. I don't know why.
The Pleiades thing has been coming up a lot with you lately, and Saturn. And I don't really.
Saturn, man. Saturn's been following me around everywhere I go.
A lot of people are saying that Saturn. Okay, so like they're saying that Saturn is like the. Basically, the entertainment industry, like the cult of Saturn, or something.
Yes,
like
there's a lot of Saturn worship.
There is. That was like a festival to celebrate the planet.
Have you seen the space, the satellite images of its pole?
No.
So its pole, there's a vortex on top of it, and it's the only thing I think in the known galaxy that forms a five, it's like a five-sided, what is that, a pentagram? I don't know. There's a
I think so.
It's not a circle on top.
Pentagon.
Yeah. It's a pentagon or a hexagram, maybe. It might be a hexagram, maybe. But you can look
what
it all
many
up.
Sides?
Five or six, but it's one of the poles. It's like this crazy anomaly that they don't understand.
And it forms insane. Like a perfect geometric pattern.
Uh huh. That's cool. Not a circle,
really.
When everything is a circle, it's not.
Is it true that like it rains diamonds there too?
I've never heard that, but that sounds.
I know cool. One of the planets it rains.
Oh,
diamonds.
I think it's Neptune. Yeah. Might be Neptune.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is Neptune. I heard that too. When nobody, that's so funny that you say that.
Right.
It's like no one, everyone looks at me like kind of skeptical, like rains diamonds. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. That sounds great.
But it's like, it sounds dope.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird shit that goes on with Mars too. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the spiritual stuff that we're into, There's a lot of mentions of. Like legit Martians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking like little green
men
with
hats. Planet that was just like Earth that blew its atmosphere away.
Yeah.
In war and stuff like that.
And right. That's what
they were. And some people say that they were like forced to flee here.
Right. Right.
Some of their people were forced to flee here.
And then did we like geomorph the planet to inhabit us probably?
Mm. You think so?
We would have had to, unless it just worked out astronomically that it was perfect for human life.
Well, I think that was the intention. Well,
yeah.
Oh, you're saying the galaxy is like a farm for making a habitable planet for us?
Yeah.
So like Venus is the next one?
Whatever next. Maybe in a solar system we're not even aware of.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like maybe Sirius.
We know
Sirius
for a fact right
Sirius,
now that
Sirius
is like one of the most.
Those are planets that it's been speculated that intelligent life lives there.
Yeah.
Spirit, Sirius C and B.
I know the stars.
Yeah, those are planets that the Dogon people believe that like aliens are from, or Anunnaki or whatever.
I mean, do we just assume that aliens are gonna come down here and just be dicks?
No, I don't think so.
I think
there's some that are here.
I used
that
to
are here to help us actually.
Right,
guardians.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that a lot of the knowledge has been kept and. We might start seeing some imposter aliens. As crazy as that sounds.
Like the hologram shit that they're doing.
Yeah, that's definitely a theory, man.
That's
but
very
we
creepy.
Keep thinking about, yeah, and that's the thing. Okay, so if we're going to get hypothetical about this, let's say like there was an alien race that like, there's a lot of theories going around that aliens like helped build the pyramids and like the Mayan, Stonehenge, the Mayan pyramids.
Right.
So, like, if they had, like, would they have, like, what are the odds that we're not the, like, people, other beings haven't been here before or already here?
Yeah. Like, here's where I'm at with that one. If you're gonna leave something for people to, like, really get, you can't leave just a giant fucking pyramid somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, let's make it a little bit more obvious.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, or do
but
you
a lot,
think
but
that
the thing is a lot of there's been a lot of government tamping with?
Do you think so?
Yeah, a lot of ancient sites.
But I don't know. I don't know if I see it as like one giant covert like.
Right. That's
like
a, that's
it
a
felt
lot
like,
of
like sometimes those theories imply that it's like one giant covert like. Government operation that just sent out a bunch of troops to like break like the pyramid heads and like.
Well,
do
I don't
all
think that
shit.
I don't think that that's what it was. I don't think it's one global effort,
right?
But I do think that it's like. I mean, if you're learning, if you want to try to like control people, and you want to, and you cut them off from their origin. And maybe their spirituality. Like, there's been a lot of like burnings of books and libraries and stuff like that over human history. So, if you want to learn how to create a stable, sort of well behaving society of human beings, you just destroy like where they came from.
Right.
Cut them off from
sexual repression.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not saying like this
it's
is
so
like
true.
Some giant. Like
no. I mean, it happens because there are people like that in every society. Like, there are people who just, you know, seek control.
But I think it's because also that like there is a side of us that wants to be governed. Ooh. Like, I think there is a side of us that wants to be governed necessary. Because we inherently, yeah, it's necessary. And we know that, like, you know, there's the fucking survival mode type part of the brain when you're in scarcity.
Right.
Mode.
Yeah.
People react badly when they're in scarcity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like we have to have those kind of things.
Have you ever noticed how a courtroom is set up a lot like a church?
I was going to say a naval yard.
Sure.
Yeah, that too, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a reason why the preacher sits with his back away from you.
Yes.
All the way up to the back.
Why? What is that traditionally?
Like a lot of cathedrals are called basilicas. The Emperor Basilius. And he would sit all the way up there in the front with his back. That way nobody could sneak up behind him and he could see everybody from all fronts.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Okay.
That guy's the most scared guy out of them all. He's the most paranoid out of them all.
Yeah, because his back is against the wall, right?
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Because he don't want to get found out.
Yeah. Right, but it's set up just
he
exactly.
He could theoretically, I mean, even as childish as it sounds, have his fingers behind his back.
Yeah.
Anything. No one would see it.
So, anything. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm saying, yeah, precisely. You could literally just have his hands behind his back and be like, man.
Right, but I think when once spirituality has a rule book, then I think you're missing the point.
I agree with that.
I think it literally comes down to
understanding
that we're all experiencing life at the same time simultaneously, and that your journey, while it's catered to your experience, really isn't that much different than anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one road, man.
Yeah,
there is. Yeah. Nobody makes it until it's like they call it the Bodhisattva vow.
That's why it makes sense that there's so many parallels between ancient religions and mythologies, because it's all people just trying to tell the same story, trying to
interpret
their way in the world.
It's a culturally catered for a certain group of people to understand that way. Which is like Hinduism works for the Indians because that's the way that they see the world. Culturally, it makes more sense to them than, let's say,
Buddhism.
Even though the similarities between them are very, very, very close.
Very close.
Very, very close.
Was it Siddhartha? I read a little bit of book.
Siddhartha Gautama?
Siddhartha that brought... Wait, did he bring Buddhism? He brought Buddhism to...
Yeah, I think he is the Buddha, right?
Yeah, he is the
Hindu,
Buddha.
But wasn't he Hindu at first? Or what did he? I thought he came from India and traveled to the further east to like spread Buddhism.
They say Buddhism is Hinduism stripped for export.
Yes.
Mm. They just take all of like the colorful, fun things and strip them away to where it's literally just realizing that your inner nature to be a Buddha.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they attribute a lot of like the Krishna stories just to Siddhartha, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. And even like, and that was again, not like a concerted global effort to suppress things, but just a realization that like, yeah, we can't keep control over people if they're being told by somebody to love themselves from within and that everyone is, you know, holy, sacred, everything is...
Right. Because once we all realize our true nature, we don't really need all the rules that these people are setting up for us.
Exactly.
Because here's one thing. If, let's just say I were to steal your cell phone, okay? Who am I really stealing from?
You.
Us. Well, yeah, us too.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason why it's wrong is because it's creating an atmosphere of paranoia around you now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The thing is just a thing that I took. But now there's this very heightened level of paranoia out there. So
and
the
not
deed,
only that, but then you have people who are even at a lower frequency who that shit happens to, and then they go and repeat the cycle of pain.
Right,
they'll go steal someone else's phone.
Yeah. Right.
If you look at a holy text, and whereas like ancient people, maybe predating Christianity or even Egyptian mythology, would say like, love yourself from inside, they would say, now we've passed the judgment on to an external figure.
Right.
So we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot right there with a lot of like modern spirituality, because now we're looking externally for, I mean, we're looking externally to be judged.
For salvation.
We're looking for salvation. Yeah, we're waiting to, some people literally waiting to die.
Yeah, or for guidance.
To experience heaven.
Instead of asking yourself, you're asking an external source for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe go inside and ask the little thing that lives in there, what should I do?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know too much.
I'll be happy when ends up being...
Never happy.
I'll be, yeah, never.
Never happy. Never happy to the grave.
And meanwhile, you're not experiencing life.
That one, I mean, like if you're telling like someone young and impressionable and you're like, okay, you're going to, if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to live the rest of your life in this like eternal blissful state or whatever. That already kind of plants the seed in your mind to not really be content.
Right.
With the present moment in a lot of ways.
Because it's all here right now.
Yeah.
The moment is enough.
It can all be here right now.
Yeah. The moment is purely enough no matter where you're at.
And I think as soon as you leave the moment, you kind of lose touch on their like their magic wand, if that makes sense. Right. Like your ability to manifest your reality. So that's one of the major features of control, right? Is to get us out of the present moment.
Right.
Keep us thinking about the past and worried about the future.
Right.
And then it's so hard to manifest because you're not in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you can remain in the moment, and it's not like you're materializing things that aren't here. Mm-hmm. What I think you're doing is if you can remain in the moment, you see a defined path to get to where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. Instead of just bull rushing, trying to cut your way right through it without really filling out the situation. It's. I mean, I believe it's true that the quieter that you get, the more that you see and hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
I got to say that just talking to you guys, like, I'm feeling a sensation right here.
Third eye.
Your crown chakra is cracking open, bro.
No, and it we were talking about this earlier. About
we're all going to levitate in the sun later when we get in the ocean.
We are going to go take a swim in the ocean.
I can't wait.
It's going to be cool. Yeah. We were talking about what like chakras are and how it's not really... Yes, there's like, when I say chakra, there's a mental image behind that.
Yeah.
But what I'm beginning to learn is that it's like a... It's
some
like
of
a
it's from Naruto.
<That's> Sorry. I'm an anime geek.
It's like a whirlpool in a river that's always there in the same spot. But the water is constantly different in it. So when they're saying this, like the chakra levels are, it's just... locations of, you know, energy concentrations, and that you can access them if you just use the power of your mind to feel it out. Like me, I can literally, if I try hard enough, I can move the energy around in my body to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. It's like, play with this idea. There are physical manifestations to your outward ego projections. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm feeling like cheated or not, I'm losing a value, my shoulders will get very tight.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's tightness.
Yeah, it's a contraction.
You can feel your ego in your body wherever there's tightness.
Yes.
Yeah, that is so true.
I feel it in my shoulders. I feel it in my stomach.
Right.
Or certain emotions that are so strong you can feel on a physical level.
Exactly.
Like even for the opposite, for me, when I'm really on my path and I'm making music and I'm like so in the vibe, that feeling that goes up your spine.
Yes, man.
When you're doing the shit that like really turns you on is like... That is definitely, it's undescribed, it's like the goosebumps, the chills.
Yeah,
like
man.
It's like that shit is real.
I
don't think you necessarily, like everybody's path is different. We can sit here and talk about like being spiritual and stuff like that. But I think you could really just like also break it down on so many levels.
Well, I think the thing is...
And I think it's good because it needs to be interpreted. Like, because how are we all going to come to the same answer? There needs to be many different ways of interpreting it so we can all come to an answer, even if it's different.
All we're trying to do is we're all going after this same feeling, a feeling that you are... cosmically accepted in the right time, in the right moment. And it doesn't matter what it is. For you, it might be music. For somebody else, it might be trimming their they're taking care of their lawn the perfect way.
Mm-hmm. Or model trains.
Yeah. Like. Or doing model trains. That or a chef that cooked a particularly.
Model trains.
Right.
I'm into that.
Yeah. Or like a chef that cooked a perfectly cooked piece of swordfish, and you have that moment of like, yes, it's delicious. It's almost palpable.
Yeah.
But that feeling is the same no matter how you get there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if you have a particularly wonderful orgasm. I mean, it's right. that same feeling, and what you're coming out of your game that you've convinced yourself you're playing, right? Mm-hmm. Just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
Bliss.
And that's what everybody is trying to do all the time. But what we do is we get trapped in, we're like collecting experiences. We're collecting things that get us to that point. And then once you're done with that, then you're on to the next thing you're trying to chase.
We talked to that outside.
Not to mention, let's be real, there are so many things that like, you know, that we consume that like just, yeah.
Right, but it puts us
back in that.
Yeah, it puts us back puts in us that place. Back in that like, space. It, like, and I think like a lot of the stuff that like, I mean, alcohol is great. Love drinking. Love
right.
smoking. I love cigarettes. Well, I don't love them. I hate them.
Love and hate.
I hate that I love them.
Yeah. Right.
I'll make that distinction.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of that stuff is like really designed to actually like, even when you look into like the stuff about pineal glands and stuff, and like cigarettes actually like clogs up the pineal gland, like different foods, certain types of foods you eat, it can like
anything that causes mucus in the body does that.
Yeah, yeah. Inflammation. Yeah, that's what inflammation is, and that's why so many of those diseases of inflammation are linked to Alzheimer's, depression.
You are those different in a way. Conditions. You are what you eat. It's true because all you're doing literally is you're taking this thing, and you're transforming it into energy.
Yeah,
but. Like we just talked about.
And we're all cells. Like,
all living things have intelligence in them. All living things have a memory.
Yeah.
They do. And so you're literally taking on that vibration of what you put into your body.
Literally, and that's what's so interesting, because you can put it that way. Like you're taking in the vibration of the food. You can break it down scientifically.
Right.
But you can also break it down spiritually too. Yeah. Like people who believe like if you absorb the spirit of the cow. Like even if you eat a cow that like has been fucking abused and neglected its whole life, you absorb that trauma.
Right.
You absorb the trauma in that food.
Well, and we can even break it down to the fact that if an animal is in those kind of conditions, when they die, they're just the chemicals that are released are literally binded to the meat.
Right. Yeah. They're pumping adrenaline. They're fucking terrified. Mm-hmm. All their hormones.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're eating that shit.
Into the meat.
You're eating it. But I'm not going to lie right now,
but
dude.
I do want some Popeyes right now.
Right there. You see what I'm saying? Here's the fun thing.
I just want a piece of chicken.
Right. And that's the fun thing about it. But if you can do it and stay right there conscious and knowing what you're eating, knowing that and still do it. Because here's the thing. I don't think it's the act that creates negative karma. I think it's how stuck you are to that act.
Yeah.
I agree. Right? Mm-hmm. One of the Hare Krishnas said that to me, like the guy talking about smoking weed lowers your vibration.
Right.
But then the other guy's like,
if you're hung up on it, it does.
Well, no, actually, here's the thing. I looked up something about like smoking weed. Smoking weed actually is good for people who are under a certain level on the vibrational grid. Yeah. They say that weed, it resonates at about 250 frequency, which is the frequency of acceptance.
Yeah.
And that's when people like get into like, that's an easy spot for you to get into apathy or complacency. Like, you
the
know,
peace
people
pipe.
Who's like smoke weed like their entire lives and then like don't really... That's
they
like,
never do anything.
That's like that's the apathy level that
like using it to escape, using it to cope.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you had a button that made you jizz your pants all the time, if you were a low level person like that, you would just constantly be mashing the button.
It's called the internet.
Exactly. That's
it's dopamine. It's all dopamine and shit.
Yeah. Not this time around, buddy. Right. Maybe you'll get him on the next one, man.
And it manifests. Dopamine manifests in so many ways. Apparently, even the concept of gossip and like ego gratification.
Oh yeah, you get a little hit.
Dopamine spike.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When you're gossiping about that person, like, oh my God, look how fucking wrong they are, blah, blah, blah.
It's so much fun, dude.
You're holding on to that fucking, that energy.
Getting little bumps of dopamine.
Yeah. It's a dopamine spike, and it's kind of a dirty high when you really think about it.
Totally.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like, it is fun to shit talk, but you've got to do it in moderation and realize what it's doing for you spiritually.
Right.
Well, if it's coming from a
good place,
you can always tell what the intent is.
Right.
Like, yeah.
If someone's just like
playful shit talking.
Like if it's like your little brother you're shit talking to, but it's like if you can take that approach when you're talking shit to complete strangers.
Yeah. Mm.
Then it's just fun. Like you're not really trying to hurt them. You're just like, you stupid animal. Like,
yeah.
Clean your game up, man. Right. You can do so much better. We believe in you. That's if you can do it from that.
Right.
Then I don't think there's way too much harder than that.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And a compliment sandwich.
No, that's that's what people need.
Sandwich. Right. Yeah. But
sometimes people also need to hit rock bottom before they can change. Like you try to pull people up and you're like, they're like kind of like about to walk off this cliff and you're like trying to pull them. You're like, dude, there's a cliff. You're going to fall.
Right.
And
it's like crabs in a bucket syndrome where you try to help someone and they might try to take you down with them sometimes.
Oh, yeah. But it's a matter of if you can stay in that place inside of you that knows all of this shit is just kind of a silly game. And you can stay in that place, there's literally nothing that can get to you. And it's not to do it from like a defense mechanism point. It's literally because that is where you can do the best work for the situations around you.
Yeah, and I think
if you're not involved in it.
Mm-hmm. You hit it well earlier too when you said that whenever something gets to you or triggers you or bugs you, like that's where you have work to do. It's just showing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you get
disproportionate, it's a disproportionate reaction to reality.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So like if you get mad at something or someone, you're mad at the way that produced a reaction in you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because usually when I get mad, I come back around to feeling bad that I got mad because I know better.
And then you're mad that you felt bad and then you're mad. It's just that crazy loop.
Well, then it sucks to apologize to someone and be like, listen, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to drag it out and not say you're sorry for something?
Yeah, exactly.
I've noticed that. It's really hard. A lot of people have a hard time saying sorry. But it's like, do we forget that people are complete screw-ups? I mean, that's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the sorry thing kind of comes a lot from upbringing, but maybe not.
Do you think so?
And then it's weird, too, because it's like this weird feeling where I shouldn't feel dependent on someone, you know, apologizing to me.
Right.
But then I also realize that it's not for me.
Right.
It's for them.
Exactly. 100%.
Like, apologize because it's for you.
Absolutely.
Right. You need to let go of it too. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's so true.
It's like, even if somebody, like, if somebody comes to, I don't know, a show or something, or I say show just because I'm.
Well, yeah, no.
But,
that's where
somebody comes in and they're like, and they just sit there, maybe their arms are cross, looking kind of mad and upset.
Right.
And then they...
Very good.
They can't say thank you or good job after the show.
Right.
And it's not like I don't... No one in the band needs the praise.
Right.
Like, it's not something that we're saying because we need people to tell us that we're good. It's just like...
What was that
it's
sign?
Just for you.
Yeah, what was
it's
that sign we read today? If you don't dance, you're going to look ridiculous.
If you do dance, you're going to look ridiculous. If you don't dance, you're going to look ridiculous.
Yep,
so you might as well just dance.
Exactly.
That's life, yo. That's
nobody
true.
Looks at someone having a good time and gets mad at them.
Right.
Unless you're doing it in like extremely
inappropriate
areas.
I think people who have like ego, like serious... You've ever been in a room with somebody who just... you can feel it. Like, they're pissed off.
They're just trying to bring down
the
energy.
Right. They're like,
they see everyone else like having fun.
You're like so excited and stuff. And like, you want them to be excited with you too.
Yes.
And for some reason, they're just like, whatever.
Right. Here's the
thing. You're just like,
this is very cool. And you can do this. You have to create a space for them to play that game out and realize that you're not serving the ball back to him on that one. You still love him,
Yeah.
They'll give that shit up relatively quick. And then they'll vibe with you too. Everyone wants to have fun.
They gravitate. Yeah, exactly. That's when Ron and I used to go busking all the time.
Yeah.
There were plenty of days where we'd be in the subway and like we'd be playing and everyone would be loving it, except like this one person in the corner who's just like,
you're constantly making eye contact.
They're not playing. They're not playing,
Bob Marley.
They're not playing Motown. Like, I need some Motown in my life.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone was just grooving along, and, you know, and we ended our song, and he was like, all right. Like, I saw it on his face.
Yeah, he was like, trying not to smirk.
All right, you guys. I was like, gotcha. You guys are good. All right.
That's the cool thing about anything.
I was like, so energy, bro. I was like, gotcha, man.
Listen, if
you can't escape it, I'm coming for you.
If you
can't escape the smile.
If you can do what you're doing well enough, even the people that don't like you will tip the cap.
Of course.
Like, you're doing it. Okay.
Yes.
It was something that I struggled with a lot. Like, I actually dated someone that, where I didn't realize, like, when I was first starting to play music, every time I would play music, and it was something that kind of like drew me into like a flow state. And I just felt like really great about it.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd kind of like not feel so great about it. Like they'd like in subtle ways, they'd be maybe a little upset. So I think that like depending on where you are on your, inner contentness, where you are in your life, you can wind up dragging someone down or you can raise them up.
Yeah. I mean, you
just got to find the right pairing. I was like, I was pretty dense young teenager.
So. It happens though, man. Listen, if you look back on your life and realize that all the series of events that got you to this point had to happen, otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Right.
Then how could anything quote unquote bad ever happen to you? Mm-hmm. Just the way you're looking at it. It's not bad. It wasn't fun, maybe,
but
the fact that you got that very, very deep lesson out of it, that's why that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to say also that that's kind of crazy because, like, I always compare, like, our relationship situations, like, on a side note, that you went through all of that in high school. I never had a, like, legit girlfriend and really until I, like, graduated high school. So like I'm actually like kind of going through that now. We're like kind of evening it out. Like he went through that shit and like I've just noticed like you're more confident and like going out and like hanging out and shit. And I'm like just like kind of like getting there, you know.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Interesting.
You're getting there fast. You're already there.
Always,
you're at the finish line.
There's always, this is a tipping point. I know there's always a tipping point because you get complacent in a situation and then the universe has a way of kicking you in the ass and being
always.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you can't just get the free ride. Just fucking, it's going to call you into action whether you're ready for it or not.
Yeah, I mean.
Nothing in the universe is at rest.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
It's impossible. What about you guys? Are you dating anyone?
Yeah. Chris is married.
I'm married. I got two kids. Yeah. Beautiful children. It's fun, man. She's a sweetheart. Wow, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, dude, it's cool. I always wanted to be a dad. I just knew it. I just knew it.
Yeah, you actually have very much carry yourself as like, a good dad.
Got that dad authority, bro.
Yeah, you got that dad authority, man. Well, the thing is with you, I could actually imagine you just talking to your kids in like a really sweet way.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if they
absolutely
misbehave.
Yeah, I do. And it's funny. Like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This is silly. I have a 3-year-old. They call them a three-nagers because they're little psychos. They're the sweetest ever, but you have to remember they're three. It's hard. It's just as hard to be a 3-year-old as it is to be a 32-year-old man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because everything's so brand new for them. They don't know how to navigate
things. Yeah, they're just confused.
The only way they know how to communicate is one thing.
Right.
They barely know how to laugh yet, so they might even be happy and crying.
Oh, yeah. One minute or the next.
Makes sense.
But what I've noticed is, like, if I come at her from, like, a... Let's break the father-daughter. I don't talk to her like this, but in my being, I'm like, let's break the father-daughter thing just for a second. Little human being, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you experiencing?
Yep, a lot.
Right, and we do that. Oh, yeah, but like when she gets upset, I'm like, before we have a freak out, just tell me what's bothering you.
So you do that tone of voice. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I talk to her like I'm talking to you guys right now. Because she is. Listen, she's it, already a full-grown adult person that just hasn't happened yet. Yeah. All kids are like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
You ever hear
Thank
some kids say some real shit? And you're like, how did you know that?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Kids are so much more intelligent.
That was one thing about my grandma. Like, she used to be like, hi, sweetie. Like, very, like, just like.
Hi, super, grandma. Like, we love you.
Yeah, grandma is.
Grandma, I know you smoke pot. Like,
Well,
no, I'm not saying your grandma specifically, but yeah. No, I've bought pot from grandmas before, and it's a very, very weird situation. I think, listen, pot with your parents is one thing, but then when you get to like smoking with grandma,
three generations,
it's a little weird there,
isn't it?
Like you live.
I think it's pretty dope.
It is cool. It is cool.
I think it'd be pretty.
But it's
dope.
Just a little bit like.
I think you got work to do. You're hung up.
I do have work to do, but yeah. I'm like, you should be like just doing grandma shit, man.
I'd be like, stoked if my grandma was like.
That's where I'm hung up. Is like I have an expectation.
Do you wish your grandma?
Well, I think if it's
weed with you,
I would. But
yeah, like, that would be awesome. But I think if it's something that you guys do like once a month for like some bonding time,
yeah.
Then that's like that's cool.
Yeah. It was cool. Like me and my
dad.
But
if it's like every day, that's just like end of the day.
Yeah, I guess I was just picturing like a dirtbag stoner grandma that's like just drinking Mountain Dew and watching MMA and shit, and just being a dirtbag stoner,
just wearing a t-shirt.
Like, God, grandma, please, you're stepping on your own boo right now. Like, roll them up, figure it out.
You're supposed to be doing grandma shit.
No, my grandma's dope, man. She's mean, but she's dope.
You said she's mean.
She's mean. I love her to death, but she's kind of grouchy, man. Like, I bought her a. For her birthday, I don't know how to buy things for an old woman that has had everything and lived through like wars and shit. Like, what do you buy that person? But I try to buy something I think she would really like. So we bought her this like those little Amazon things you talk to. She's like, I want a weather gauge. I'm like, you're gonna fucking get you the king of weather gauges. This you can literally talk to this thing, dude. So I give it to her. And she's like, fuck, now I gotta learn something new. I'm like, all right, man. Come on.
She's got her a thermometer, man.
Oh, I know.
This has been a riveting visit.
Yeah, yeah. She's so funny, though, man. But yeah, but I've noticed if I hang out long enough with her and we just play that grandma-grandson kind of a game long enough, and then, like, we get bored with that, then we connect on, like, two human beings that happen to be in a general location of each other experiencing life. Mm-hmm. You can do that with anybody, but anybody. It's a matter of how willing you are to set aside your own game to let them have the opportunity to do that as well. Mm. That's really all it is, because I could play the grandma's grandson game all day long because it's a fun game to play and ham it up
cool
with her
game. Cookies are cool.
Yeah. Right. But what's even more cool is when you just step outside of your roles enough to see that. And I think the thing about it is like, humans we have to meet each other in roles initially. You have to. How else could you? Mm-hmm. You can't, listen, you're not going to like be able to like be open-hearted with literally everyone you come in contact with.
What do you guys think about the whole, it takes a village to raise a child mentality?
I think so, man.
Cause listen, I've hung out with some like homeschool kids and those dudes.
I think that would also take a load off parents too.
It's too much.
Like,
man.
if we could, like, I mean, maybe I'm thinking utopian world, perfect world, but like, it would take a lot off the parents, like the responsibility, the persona, like that's like a parent. When you think about it, it's almost a mask that you've got to wear.
You have to
for your
kid. It's a character you're playing
because they want you to be a parent.
Is crying and you're trying to teach him a lesson, but. You're like, you have to deal with that like gray area of just like, damn, I don't like seeing my child crying and suffering. But
yeah, it's just a waiting game, really. Like,
yeah,
because once you have to let them do that, and then once they're done with that, then you talk to them on a real level.
And when they're adults, maybe we don't need to call our grandma necessarily. I mean, just to distinguish them, of course.
Right,
but
right.
Like we don't necessarily need to. If I, like after a certain age, I don't need to call like I don't know what I'm trying to say. I still call my grandma grandma.
I know.
Like, well, it's
like,
title.
Yeah,
it's an honorary title.
Yeah. Honorary. Like, yeah.
You can't be like, hey, Carolyn, pass the gravy, please. Like,
That
would just come across as like disrespectful. I'm like, you have no respect for me.
I'm always straight in the middle. I'm like, mom.
Yeah.
It's not like mother, but it's like cool, mom.
It's fun. Mom. It's fun to break out of those roles. Do you remember like? Because you've been talking about your mom a lot. Do you remember the first time you kind of realized, like, oh, shit, my mom, my mom's a little bit more than my mom, man.
I do remember, yeah.
Walk me through that, dude, please. Because it's cool because you guys.
For sure.
You guys seem super close to your mom.
Mm-hmm. We have, yeah. My mom basically raised us. We were, like, in this neighborhood, actually.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And, she was. She was very into like spiritual stuff when we were younger.
But even like before that, knowing that she was like, she saw us in elementary school and she noticed what it was kind of doing for us. Like, I guess she didn't think we were happy there or whatever.
Right.
So she did some research into a democratic free school, which is where kids can decide on the rules and
they can make their own curriculum.
Make their own decisions.
Kind of like Montessori.
Yeah. It's like it's a really, really, really weird school. Like, I used to go to school and my friends from other schools would be like, that's not a school. That's like a daycare.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like kids could literally go there and go to the park. If you wanted to study video games, you could bring a GameCube in.
If you're over a certain age, you can sign. The school was ages 5 to 18.
That's cool.
It's mixed community. It was like a.
And the cool thing was that there was like so little ego there because like there were things that I was great at, but then there were like, you know, ninth graders that were better, or I'm on.
Right.
Fourth graders that were better than me at certain things like math.
Yeah, right. That was the crazy part. Your entire
you would get the whole gamut. You'd have like prodigy kids like for math and for reading and for history and all these different things. So we never really identified age as like a signifier of
right
any sort of like level of intelligence.
Yeah,
but that was one of the first connections I had with my mom. And that was at a very young age. I was like, all right, she's not just my mom. Like, she's,
right.
I mean, she is my mom, but she's also looking out for me spiritually.
Yeah.
Oh, that, and I always felt cool. Like, I always felt like I was her friend.
Yeah.
More than
that's good.
She showed
her son.
Us a lot of stuff. Like, and she, we were like listening to The Power of Now and the Earth.
Yeah.
And a New Earth, like audio books when we were like, 11 or 12.
That's so cool.
And Alan Watts is one of her favorite speakers.
He's one of my favorites. He breaks it down.
Terrence McKenna. Yeah. I'm talking about Terrence McKenna.
Right.
She's very big into that. I can't wait for you guys to meet her.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Man. Yeah.
I would love for you guys
to meet
her.
I want a past life
her.
Session.
Would,
yeah.
Yeah,
dude. Oh, she did
that?
One. Yeah. She did one.
Oh, she did. I thought she was doing them. Okay.
Oh, no. She's like been into it and she did like a hypnosis.
Yeah.
Past life.
I'd just
like
to talk to her about it. That'd be so cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Really
does. One like that. Like
I know. It's really cool. Yeah. Your mom lives near you guys?
She lives with us.
Oh, yes.
Rockaway.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. You guys could meet her tonight.
We're all big, happy family.
Oh.
I might wait. I mean, we'll see.
We could stay out. We'll plan it.
Yeah.
I feel like if she met you guys, though, she'd think you guys are freaking awesome.
She has to meet you guys before.
It's an hour train right there, right?
Yeah. I think it's time.
I think it's time to shut this down, dude. I'm for real. I want to go meet your mom, dude.
Yeah.
For real.
Cool.
All right.
I think it's time to shut it down. You guys got any final words here, Jared? You read a quote sometimes. Do you have anything prepared?
I have quotes for when we get back. But
okay, cool.
For me, it's just been the entire thing. Like, the hero's journey is how I want to end it for me. It's like, if you guys heard the hero's journey, but it's basically how every story is ever written, that there's two options. Either your lead people leave an area and go meet people and learn stuff, and then they come back improved to their original setting. Mm-hmm. Or the other way is that a mysterious stranger comes to the adventurer in their home, and then they grow that way.
It's the passive versus the active protagonist?
I guess so. But what I realized in this experience for us, like what we're doing together, the four of us, that we're both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
We came here and we're learning from you, but you guys were here and we came and we're mysterious strangers. You'd never met us until this.
Right.
Yeah. So like the hero's journey is playing out on both sides of the Venn diagram with us, and it like meets right here.
We're all the heroes of our own journey.
Exactly, man.
That's how we end it. We are all the heroes of our own journeys. Yeah.
Boom.
Welcome to the rabbit hole.
Welcome to the rabbit hole, man. Right on. Sweet. We love you guys. Later.